This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
95% of Uber Eats orders are on time, which is great. Because the only thing I care about more than football is spicy pepperoni pizza for kickoff. But on the off chance your order is late, Uber Eats will give you 3 months, $0 delivery fee with a free Uber One membership. Now that's a spicy offer.
On time claim based on latest arrival time shown after order is placed. Offer ends 2/19/2023. Current Uber One members not eligible. Subscription will auto-renew at $9.99 each month, starting 3 months from initial enrollment. See uber.com/uber1 for terms. Benefits available only for eligible stores. Order minimum supply.
Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favorite podcasts.
Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
Right, Chris.
All right, Junkies, good evening. How the devil are you? Welcome along. I hope you are well. My third show of the day. I've just come off two Arsenal shows, so we'll have to have a quick shower and, spray the old mosquito stuff and wipe myself down with a wet Daily Mail to make myself feel better. But I am there now. Welcome along. It's another new show. Well, we're going to try it again, as with all new shows. We're going to try it and see how it goes. Normally, this would be the space that is taken up by the banter show, which is usually myself, Brad, and David's on holiday for a couple of weeks, so we're going to try this, which is basically a question and answer show. We don't have a script, we don't have a target, we do an agenda, we don't know what the hell we're going to talk about. I don't know yet. All right, a lot of you are saying, well, that's me anyway, but you're going to set the question. Anything Leicester City, we're not going to give you the answer. We're not going to say how much is, you know, Danny Ward on a bit per week or anything like that. But if you've got any questions about Leicester, let us know and we will have a discussion on it. I mean, there's nothing on telly. There's only just some tourist class football on down there. But let's welcome him in and say good evening to my co-host, Brad. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, mate. I'm good as always. How are you doing, mate?
We've made a signing.
I know, right? Let's have to celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. When I say made a signing, I feel like it should be going dot, 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 who. But, hey, he's a third-choice keeper, so what's it matter? But no doubt we may get asked about that as well. Hamza's doing well. Come on, Watford, you can do it. I'd love to see him get a goal, actually. Mainly because I think if they do get promoted again, we get more money, so...
I think any decent performance out in Watford will benefit both the player and the club. So,
this is Leicester Till I Die TV. As you can see above me, you can follow us on all the social media bits that are there. Just search Leicester Till I Die and do the same on the podcast as well if you want to listen. These are always uploaded about half an hour after we come off. Onto the podcast platform, whichever your favourite podcast platform is. But Brad also has a channel, and it's all about opinions, isn't it, Brad?
Yeah, it is. The channel's called A Matter of Opinion. It's where weekly topics I'll upload weekly topics and let you guys pick them, and then on the Thursday we'll discuss them. You give your opinions on them. If you want to find it and check out my latest one, which was a Disney theories one, just follow me on Twitter at Full Time Focus, and the link's in the bio there. So yeah, thanks a lot, Chris, and looking forward to this.
Yeah, and it's also the link is in the chat below on YouTube as well. To reach out. It's a great discussion channel. I think at least in the last one we were able to see you, weren't we?
Yes, I used a better camera for that, and was at least able to see me. That's if you could find me with the trouble I was apparently having with.
Yeah, it take me a while. Other people found you, but I was struggling. But on the one before, I did feel because you were in shadow form, and I felt like I should start questioning you, like where were you on Friday night at 3 o'clock in the morning? Anyway, it's all about questions and answers. You can say good evening to James, Scott, Spencer, Andrew, and Scott. They're all in. So hello, welcome along. We were just literally talking about this before we came live. We've made a signing, and Andrew says here, can I ask why we need another goalkeeper?
For the exact reasons why it's been done. Ward's the new number one. So Iverson's going to be number two in case of emergency. It's all he ever was. You know, the young lad, I'm not going to try and pronounce his name, can now go out on loan if he's not already gone on loan. So we just keep the pecking order moving up. So that's exactly why we've done it. You know, Jakubovic is gone. He's going to take the wage. He's going to take sitting on the bench, 32 years of age.
Yeah, I mean, he signed, is it a 2-year contract, I think? And for me, exactly. Brendan likes three managers. That's what he, you know, he's always had three managers. And I suppose if you've got a game against Liverpool coming up, and only time will tell, but let's say Danny Ward gets an injury, you know, Iverson may not just be quite ready. I mean, I think he probably is, and I think he will be the number two. But like you say, you still, if Ward gets injured, you've still got to have a backup to the backup, really, haven't you?
Yeah, you always need it. You know, it's why people always want you to have depth in positions, you know. And I think it's why a lot of people actually quite admire that Brendan tries to get his players to be more versatile, because there's been a few players at the squad that maybe haven't been trusted in other roles that Brendan's seen. So I like that back as well, because he gets the most out of the squad as well. We've got I'm going to jinx it now, so I take full responsibility when we lose. We've got a kind Carabao Cup tie. So you may see Iverson get that, independent or Iverson, I don't know if that's the name. I do apologise, but you'll see him get his chance. And then maybe in the next round, if we get like maybe a Manchester United, you might even see Smithies get a game for us. I mean, he's proven at this level in a sense that he's experienced it at least. So it's not for nothing for getting him in.
Yeah, and let's be honest, we've got one of our, I mean, everybody was sort of saying, oh, you only got, you know, 800 and odd thousand pounds for Schmeichel. And I said, well, we only spent a million on him in the first place. So we've had a few good seasons out of him. But it's, he's hardly going to be on a, let's face it, a vast amount of money. He's 32. He probably thought his best days were behind him. You know, how often do we see Jukubovic? I very much doubt we'll ever see him in a Premier League game, but he's there just as cover. Yeah. Because look how the injuries affected us last season. We went, you know, we could easily get an injury to Danny Ward, who's only just come back from an injury. Iverson comes in. He gets injured, and we're going to have another situation where we've got Steve Atlinix and Alan Young in goal.
Yeah, and also the other way to look at it, and I don't, again, I hope it doesn't happen, but let's just look at the other side of football. Let's say Iverson does play in the Carabao Cup second round game, and he has a bit of a mare, but Leicester get through sort of thing. That kind of gives Brendan the idea where he's at in his development. He needs to work on it a bit. Maybe Brendan goes, okay, now he swaps it. And again, then you, like you.
Oh, you're frozen, Brad.
You said. You have to let me know when I'm back, mate, because it's not freezing on my end. So I can't tell you if people are missing what I'm saying or not.
It may not be freezing in the main programme for people, but it is.
Yeah, for you. Yeah.
No, just go through that bit again. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, no worries. I was basically just saying that, you know, if Iverson, and I'm going to keep swapping his name, I'll pronounce it. But if he has a, let's say, not a very sturdy game in the Carabao Cup, Brendan might change his mind on who he wants to back up should Ward get an injury. Because at least for this, you know, this is the first big test, because we used to, before we had Danny Ward, I think a lot of Leicester fans, when they heard Casper was going to miss a game, it was like that Only Fools and Horses scene with Uncle Albert, and it was like, aah! Everybody didn't know what to do. It was like, oh God, Ben Aim is in goal, or oh God, Ron Robert Seal is in goal. At least we're in a better place, you'd feel, with these keepers we've got.
Yeah. I used to like Ben Aim, in fairness, but it is the life, as you know, you're in the goalkeepers union, you know what it's like. Terry's in. Good evening. The cavalry has returned from our last outing, just parking the horses. Yeah, we were both in the Arsenal preview on Esweetly TV's channel. Like I said, I've had a shower, Terry. Hope you have as well. It is, as a question and answer show, so let's move on to the next question. Spencer says, you heard anything on the council's decision about the ground extension?
No, I haven't,
because I've got the details up on screen if you want me to.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know unless you've heard something, but I haven't, to be honest with you, which is why I googled it.
No, I've not. I don't. I also don't understand where the issue is aligned, why the council are being so stubborn. There's, you look at how other clubs, you know, drag fans in from all over the world, and people come flying over to England to do work over here, just as we fly over there and whatnot, or whatever. They come and visit family they've got here, and they, you know, it makes Leicester more of a peel of all nature. I think it's just beneficial for the club in the long term. And you know, we trust these owners. I don't understand, you know, for all they've done, not just for the football club, but they've done it for the entire city.
Yes.
There's got to be a logical reason that's holding it up being accepted. Because...
Sorry, come on, mate.
No, I was just saying, I just can't find one.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is what the owners are trying to do. They are trying to sort of build us up as a club. You know, we have that expansion. We go up to 40,000. We're still only half the size of Old Trafford. So, you know, we're trying to create this whole new environment. Now, I'm just looking on here. The funny thing is, both my eldest son and one of my twin daughters are both architects. And they've actually been sending me links. Like, look what I've seen and look what I've seen on it. But there is a thing called the newcivilengineer.com. It's kind of say nightly reading for me, you know.
Oh, yeah, everybody's got the book.
Well, it was either that or Arteta's life story, you know. Now, this was done on the 1st of August, 2022, so it is very, very recent. And it says, Leicester City's football club's stadium expansion aspirations remain in the balance after the council missed its own deadline to rule on the planning application for a third time. I mean, I think the easiest answer to your question is, Spencer, is that the whole of Leicester City Council are wankers, and they couldn't make a decision whether to have one or two sugars in the coffee in the morning. The council's record showed that the planning application was due to be ruled on by the end of July. However, a decision is still to be taken. The club submitted applications October last year, and City Council was originally due to rule on it by the 10th of February. Well, that date was then pushed back a couple of times, I think. After missing the latest deadline, a Leicester City Council spokesman told New Civil Engineer Weekly.com that no date has been set for determining the application. Council records also show that seven out of the last eight scheduling planning committees meetings have been cancelled, stretching back until February. Well, I mean, I think that says more about how badly Leicester Council is run than anything else, to be honest with you, doesn't it?
Well, it just says a lot about it in general. I think you've probably summed it up exactly right, how they are, unfortunately, and fingers need to be removed from arses. Because this is getting a bit dull now. It's like fake news, isn't it? We keep hearing about a stadium expansion. This is fake news now.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure if they were going to debate widening a cycle lane along the A46 or something, they'd be getting a special meeting together and they'd all be in on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's one bill. It's probably got something to do with the fact that the council haven't suggested it as a building thing their own beforehand, because it's owned on the grounds of Leicester, I believe. Their idea is obviously where to build it, so they're just pissy that they didn't come up with it.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at it, you think, you know, anybody that's coming to see Leicester and they walk down that particular way from Elston Road,
yeah,
it's just rubble. It's, you know, it's a mess. The other way is not so bad. And here we are going to regenerate the whole area, which has got to be good for not just the club, but for Leicester as well, because there's a shopping mall, there's a hotel, there's accommodation, there's flats in there, and an 8,000-seater arena. It's got to be all the best, not just for the club, but for Leicester. But, you know, we know better with the council down here in Bournemouth, Poole and Christchurch, to be honest with you. So,
oh, yeah, true. But I guarantee you, if this thing got built and there was apartments in there and the Leicester fans, some Leicester fans were living in there, right, they'd still fail to make it on time for a match day, if anybody.
probably.
I definitely, but I know.
Moving on, Scott says, thoughts on Wesley Fofana potentially leaving?
Doesn't sound like it. Not to me. I'm going with what we did yesterday in the Brendan press conference. I think the club's prepared. You know, we'll see over the next three or four games how it more balances out. Eventually, when he makes more than one substitution, we'll realise what his rotation is and how he's going to keep rotating it. Probably, unfortunately, unless it starts to go drastically wrong like it did last season, we'll be seeing it like that for the foreseeable. And I think Brendan maybe has an eye on the only centre back he's going to let go of is Soyuncu. The only way Wesley Fofana's going is if whatever you value, whatever you think you can push your maximum to pay for Fofana for is Chelsea, add 20 million to it and you can't do it. So,
yeah. I mean, I know Wesley Fofana's done all his, you know, social media hype and changing and what have you, but I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I mean, like I say, we don't. Please, everybody read that piece on Sky by Rob Dorset, which explains, you know, we don't need to sell. You know, if we get a stupid offer, we will do, as in Harry Maguire, but he signed a 5-year contract. He isn't going anywhere unless we say yes, he is. You know, and he's come out recently, I think, and I think he's kind of hinted that he's happy to stay. And everybody seems to be saying that it will do him good to have another year at Leicester before he even thinks about moving on.
Yeah, and again, let us know our own destiny. And I get that some players are going to be like that. We've discovered it with Youri Tielemans. Let know my club's fate before I make a decision. And, you know, we've kind of ran time out on Tielemans' situation, but Fofana knows his situation with Leicester. And whilst he's happy, and, you know, if we can have a good season, there's no reason he doesn't get into that France squad. And then, you know, maybe then West goes, well, if I can earn that here, then I don't see a need right now to do anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
Time will tell.
Yeah. Terry says there could be traffic considerations regarding the ground. I don't think, as it said there, I think the council just haven't been meeting for whatever reason, you know. Scott's suggestion here is Newcastle have put in place a new stadium. It would be an option for the owners, as the council may approve this a bit quicker. I don't think we do we need a new stadium? I mean, I think if we built a new stadium, I think we'd have to move out of the centre sort of area, wouldn't we?
Well, A, yeah, and B, we've not been at the stadium nearly long enough to consider moving. Extending it would be right, because let's be right, you know, there is occasions where we hit the 28,000 or the 27,000 mark for some games. I believe we'd get closer up to into the 30s, but extending it to what they're talking about, 40,000, is more than enough. You have to develop within your means as a club, and that's not a disrespect to Leicester or any club for that matter. If you're in the means to be filling 60, 70, 80,000, then make sure your stadium's, you know, accompanying that. Leicester at the moment are in a progress stage. I'm more than happy for them to try and, you know, use their money to, you know, increase and improve the facilities all round. And I think that's what's frustrating, because we had a bit of an issue with the training ground, didn't we, for a little bit? Yeah. And all them videos have been put out for it, and thank God they have it. I know people will moan, we keep getting injuries, but sometimes that's just the way football is, the way players are built, unfortunately, they get big injuries. Yeah. But, yeah.
No, I agree with you. I What is the point of us going out? And I know, I get what you're saying, Scott, but I don't know, you know, if we go and build a stadium that will house 60,000 fans, would we be doing that week in, week out?
No.
And what would happen if we suddenly got relegated? Now, I'm not saying we will do, but, you know, look what happened when we moved into the King Power, or Walkers as it was then. The first season we were there, we got relegated and then moved into it, which resulted in us losing the stadium with teachers buying it and the KP group having to buy it back for us. And look at Darlington. Darlington built an amazing ground, which was Championship standard, League One, you know, top of League One, and they were in League Two, and they got relegated into the conference. And they've got this 16,000 seater stadium that houses about 800 now. What they're doing now allows them to do exactly the same, maybe in a few years' time, if we have grown that big on the other side of the, on the east stand, and develop that way. We have to develop in stages, you know.
And it's just daft money. There's no point, you know, with what we're both agreeing on saying that it'd be 40,000 tops. What's the point in knocking down a 31,000-odd seater stadium and spending more millions to build a 40,000 seater stadium when you can evolve the stadium as it is? But the stadium's changed a lot slowly over the years. That stadium, as an ex-worker, I can tell you, has had a lot of repairs done to it and kept up with times and the infrastructure itself. You know where the TV sit.
Yeah.
That was all redone for bracketing and that. So that stadium is always being updated and kept up to it. And it just now needs a whole stand just upgrading. So we don't need a new stadium. You know, that won't come until Leicester hits bigger on a worldwide scale.
It will. And that may never happen. We don't know. I mean, if you look at Man United, I don't know if they said this yesterday or not, but they were bought for $600 million, which immediately went down to $600 million worth of debt, because that's how the Glazers paid for it. They took out a loan. They still have £600 million worth of debt, but they... Yeah. Because they haven't paid it off, and all the money that the club generates goes on to sales. Now, I think we're probably one of the only clubs in Europe that has... We have a manageable debt, you know. We have a debt, of course we do, because everything, you know, it's better to have a loan out, but it makes it easier to have loans out. So we have got debt, but, you know, it is manageable, and I do not want to go down the way of Derby, as happened at the moment, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And there's other clubs that have suffered over the years. Bolton managed poorly. We've seen what happened to them. Bury, a place just a couple of miles down the road from where I live, had to start again. You know, we've seen clubs go through it. I'm more than happy for them to say, look, investing 250 million or 200, let's just say 200 million. Let's say our owner's going to go wild and give us 200 million to spend and say you've got free license to sell for fun or something or whatever. Yeah. That's worth 200 million to go for it. That's a risk capital from a business perspective, as much as they love the club and the thing. Whereas if they invest that 200 loan and whatever in this expansion or whatever it's going to cost, I just said 200 million because it sounds right. I don't know why. Someone's probably telling me I'm way off, but the point still stands. That's going to gain them the money back, because it's another part of their business, it's another part of their growth, and it benefits the city as well with what it will bring in. So I understand why they're not willing to take that risk in the market of bringing in players. We've seen what 30 million flops we've brought through that door. I mean, even back in the day when it wasn't a lot, compared to these day and age, it's pennies, but 5 million on a certain Adiaki bad boy.
Yes.
And all those expenditures is what got us in that mess in the first place. Yeah. And that's the risk we're taking by spending that on players instead of on the infrastructure. The infrastructure can hold you for a few seasons. I mean, let's just say, God forbid, in 10 years' time, Leicester had a 40,000 seat and all them hotels and whatnot, and they were in the Championship. I remember what certain clubs like Leicester and that do. They tend to fill it when it's a Championship, because some people that don't like all these bandwagon jumpers or grumble and moan about people jumping on the bandwagon because they're doing well, they go, thank God they gave up the season ticket and see, I can go back to watching the team play. And that's every team. That's not just Leicester fans, that's every team.
Yeah.
So it's just, like I said, mate, you know, to keep a tight subject going, it's just good what they're doing.
Keep the questions coming in. We don't have the answers. We just have what we think.
We have more questions to make more questions.
There's a song that, isn't there? There's more questions than answers. It's tripping up the Leicester at the moment. David, your granddaughter just found my phone while I was asleep. Oh, I see. Yes, David. I see. I wasn't going to put that up, to be honest with you, but that's your granddaughter. What is, you need to have a word with your granddaughter. Let me just say that. So Terry says, head of recruitment that left came with Rodgers from Celtic. Rodgers' medical staff he brought here gone, and set piece coach, not the one Rodgers wanted. Trouble at the mill. I mean, Lee Congerton, I thought he was here before Rodgers came.
I have to look at how he came in. I'm pretty sure he's the one that we just got in. He comes before he got it from Celtic. Right. I think we did. We did. He did bring him in. But I mean, you'd have to check it, but of course, everybody has their own staff. It's not like Rodgers is the first ever manager to ever bring staff from wherever they go. Martin O'Neill did it. And yeah. We laud him for winning two League Cups and making us finish in the top 10 most seasons. You know, we praise him and treat him rightly as we should, as a Leicester City legend. But I do feel bad for Brendan, and he seems to get a lot of cop, and he's kind of getting the Puel treatment on a smaller percentage than Puel did, but the same sort of thing. I feel like some people are just looking to blame something Brendan's done for some of the things that are going on in this club. I know there's no smoke without fire, but the way the world recently is really reflecting in journalism. Journalism is also quite lazy. Yeah. And they'd run out of reasoning, they'd run out of excuses, they said, well, it's got to be something, and they've posted that. I think it's very safe to say that if there was an issue between the hierarchy and Brendan, I don't mean this to sound, make them sound horrible, there was only going to be one winner, and it's going to be what our owners want. And if Brendan doesn't like that, like Pearson didn't like it, he's going to be shown the door. So... Yeah. I will wait for something like that to announce and then go, well, call me from this guy, genius knows I could be inside out, and I'll be keeping an eye on what he says about our club. But I just don't see it right now.
Yeah, and actually, in fairness, I was absolutely totally wrong about Lee Congleton. He was, in 2014, appointed sporting director at Sunderland, and then Celtic appointed him in 2017. And we recruited him in 2019. So, yes, he did come from Celtic, Terry. You are quite right. I mean, you know, it's very easy to lay the blame at the manager's door. And we do it on this show. I'm not going to say I never criticise Brendan. You know, if he gets things wrong, of course I do. One substitute when he says that they're all knackered because it's so hot sort of thing. But... You know, we had Steve Walsh as our head of recruitment, as part of a team. And it's not just one man, because Steve Walsh went to Everton.
And scouted a bunch of donkeys.
Sorry?
And scouted a bunch of donkeys for him.
Yeah, sorry, exactly. Yeah, I'm struggling to hear you again, sorry. He was useless because it's one cog in the wheel. Lee Congleton is only as good as the scouts, because the scouts are saying, you know, go and have a look at this player. Or he is saying, will you go and have a look at this player? And it's what they say when they come back that will determine how we go. I just think that we're looking to make, and there is a molehill there, don't get me wrong, there is definitely a molehill there. Are we making the whole thing into a mountain? Are we looking for problems when there isn't problems?
Sometimes it's what we do as fans. We're not just the only club to do it. But, you know, we do that as fans, and it's exactly what we do with sometimes. You know, we don't like a player, we don't like a manager the second they play. And people sometimes give a little jibe when Perez comes on and does well, and it probably expects me to still say he's this and that. But when you either like or dislike a player, you look at them biasly. It's not always in a great way, you know. And it's one of them. You can blame recruitment, but then you can't look at his recruitment and say, oh, he's brought in his old folks. Schmeichel, who's just left the club for 11 years, thanked the coach that he has stayed throughout every single manager, Mike Stapp. And that, you know, there's probably some other members of staff that have still been there since before I worked there and are still there now. So,
yeah,
the staff, you know, these managers, yeah, they do have their own staff, but that's part and parcel of football, you know. There's some players that tend to try and follow each other to clubs because they grew up together, you know, they're all part of it, or they end up playing from the same academy in the same team. It's what you do. And then, one of them moves, you want to follow them, you want to be in the same division as them, you want to be playing against them or on the same team as them. And if that club ever comes calling, you're probably going to go to it. It's no different to working for someone. Manager needs staff, he's going to bring them with him. But they don't always replace everybody in what they do.
Indeed. Do keep the questions coming in, because that's what this show is called. It's the Q&A show on Leicester Till I Die TV, and it's me and it's him trying to answer all your questions.
Leicester Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
Okay, let's have a look at some of the questions. I lost where I was then. Has the new set piece coach survived yet? I think we can just say that is no.
According to Brendan, not yet, which is really frustrating. This is the probably only bad side to this business that I haven't liked. I can take not having the transfers. We've spouted many times. I've got over ready. Yeah, too many players to register. I can deal with that. The one thing I couldn't wrap my head around is we signed the what position was it, guy that we signed from Southampton? We had to then go on Garden. Is he to
the last game? Is that
it can't start until the end of the season, I believe. I don't think he's gone and leaves ends up until September.
Until the end of the transfer window.
Yeah. It's like, well, what's the point? What's the point of bringing him in the bit? There's people all the time he can get anything done and we can't fucking use him. And yes, I did
saying, well, you're only gonna come after our players sort of thing, so
well, that's been good fun. We took Bertrand and Vestergaard off them. They should be chucking him in for very sympathy.
Yeah, well, I totally, utterly agree with you. But I believe from what Brendan said the other day that is visa problems, or his visa's just been approved by the Home Office or something. I mean, we've got to accept now that I don't know what country he's coming from. I don't know anything about him, but we're not in the EU anymore. We're not going to talk about Brexit or anything, but that would probably have an effect on people not being able to just come over here at the drop of a hat for a job.
Yeah, but even if he was there, Chris, he still can't go to work where he's been hired from yet until this gone and he's done. Do you know, Chris,
I'm on about the set piece coach.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but these are deals that should have been done and sorted out. I don't understand how. I do understand. I do get the term gone with you. I know what it means, but it's like, you've only got a guy who can't work for us at the most pivotal point needed to be working for us, ideally.
I agree 100%. You know, and I've just said, bloody hell, Southampton saw us coming. I said that on a show not so long ago. Yeah. It is stupid. But if he is that good that... which he appears to be, looking at sort of the comments in the papers... He does appear to be worth, you know, what we're going to be doing. And he's getting quite, you know, really good reviews. And you look at some of the youngsters that Southampton have got, you know, onto the books and then sold on. So, yeah, it looks like, you know, then you've then got to ask the question, well, it might be actually worth just hanging on and getting him. But, I mean, it's all, like I say, if he came... We've still got to get players out before we can get players in, et cetera, et cetera. So who knows if we'd have had an influence or not. B. Crom, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? I have a wonderful, cheap, Mahrez-like, left-footed replacement from the island of Britannia, Gary Makin-Steven. He is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Mahrez. I do not know him, B. Crom. Just look at the highlights video and tell me you wouldn't fit in perfectly with us. It would cost less than $1 million. He's currently playing for the Heart of Midlothian, which is third in the SPL. I don't know if you want to Google him. I have no idea who he is. But if you've seen him, B-Crom, and you recommend him, then, is he young? By the sound of it, he is. And let's face it, we've had a few good Scots players down the years, haven't we, Brad?
Yeah, we've had a lot of duds clumped together in one team under the
Craig Lavinia. I'm sorry. You're gonna have to have this. Sorry, you're not mentioning that name and get away with it. Torx, thank you so much, Torx, for today. He was trying to explain a new operating system to me, and I'm sure it was like trying to explain Lego to a primary school. It should be easy, and it wasn't with me, and he was very, very patient. So, Torx, I really do appreciate you giving up your own time to do that with me, and I would thank you very much indeed. And please go and check his channel out, Football Versus Cancer. Does what it says on the tin. It's a charity channel on YouTube and also on Twitter as well. So search Football Versus Cancer, and you will on both Twitter and YouTube. And give him a subscribe. And obviously, after you've subscribed to this, if you haven't been or if you haven't done already. Terry says, I really hope Leicester stays a family club, not a club for foreign plastics like the so-called top six teams are. I think we've moved on from that, unfortunately for me, but we've not gone totally. You know, everybody's still got a free beer on the first day of the season. I don't think we'll change completely. I don't think our owners would let it.
No, they're not them sort of owners. I don't ever think we'll sell our soul to the devil while these are in charge. I've made no arguments and no qualms in telling people that I want this to be run by this football club, to run by this family for generations to come. The way they run it, the way they treat the football fans, and I say football fans because it's not just Leicester fans. We've talked about this before, Chris. They look after both sets of fans at the King Power. It's almost like they make that place welcome to away fans as much as they can. It's like, this is our home. They look after the city and everything in around it. And I just don't see us doing it. And you can see that they believe in the talents around them. And look at our squad on a match day. You know, Barnes, Madison, Justin, Thomas, Paddy, Kieran Dewsbury, Hall, you know, and then that's just off the top of my head, English international. You know, what we've had before that in this time, what we do as a structure and the players we are developing, and the way the club's run by the ownership, it's just missing the final touch, isn't it, really? I'd feel.
I think what we've achieved since the new owners have been here is beyond our wildest dreams, you know.
I'm
happy as a Leicester fan. I've seen my team win the FA Cup. I've seen our team win the Community Shield, the Premier League. It's been an amazing few years. It really has. Somebody's being sent off in the Watford Burnley game. I think it's the Watford player, and it isn't Chowdhury.
Wow.
Shock horror, Kamara is being sent off. And it depends what you call a family club, because, you know, I can go down to Poole Town here and I can stand behind the goal and be shouting, and the guy next to me is the guy who owns the club. And they've changed even so, because they've changed owners and they're trying to move on. But I think when you compare us to so many other clubs around Europe, certainly within England, you wouldn't swap our owners.
You wouldn't. I think the best way to kind of sum up what is a family owner, as it might be, it's pretty much any definition of being a football fan and reading news about your owners, seeing the changes or lack of changes to your football club, seeing the improvements or lack of improvements to your football club, and that determines whether you see them as a family owner and someone who embraces the football club. Because I think the best way to know if you've got if you to know if you feel like your owner's really relatable to your club and what it does and what it wants to achieve. Do you feel cheated on the match day? Do you feel cheated out of your price for your food? Do you feel cheated on your match day experience? Do you feel cheated on the price they charge on your, for the things they have control of? Because what we also have to remember is the infrastructure inside the club. Some are wholesale, some chain of command. So not all clubs run differently. They don't have control over everything. As daft as it seems, they don't have control over certain things that are negotiated in terms of that. But what they actually do have responsibility, if what they give to the club doesn't make you feel cheap, and I feel you've got a caring owner. It might not be to the extent that Leicester owners can afford, but it might only be the same as what John Davis can do for Paul Town or whatever, that, you know, if he's going and buying a match day ticket every day. He doesn't, as long as you feel like your owner's giving you something that you're asking your owner for, I feel you've got that from your own.
Scott says here, Lee Congerton came in after or drawing Brendan came in. It was after, just been checking there while Brad was talking. 26th of February 2019, we got Brendan in, and Lee Congerton came in on the 11th of May 2019. Scott also says, who do you believe will start against Arsenal, Vardy, Dakar and Acho? I'll go first on this one because I think it's almost cast in stone that it's going to be Vardy, isn't it?
Possibility. You would suggest that it's going to be Vardy. However, I've also seen how Leicester played against these kind of teams away from home. And Brendan likes to try and shut it out and damage limitation that first half, probably, to be perfectly honest. I would say if he goes with one up front, it's Vardy. It's only ever going to be Vardy. But I do not rule out the possibility of there being a second striker. And if it's a second striker, it's going to tell you the tale of the season. Because if it's Dakar and Vardy, then the inactive's got one more or maybe even two more years to wait, depending on Vardy's situation, before he gets that chance to shine. It seems a frustrating season for him.
Yeah, totally. Hiya, Ryan. How the devil are you, sir? Hope you have a better outcome this weekend and your season gets a little bit better than the start that you've had. I just think Vardy and Dakar, I just think they're too similar. And I just if he comes on and plays with either of them, he can hold that ball up and release Dakar or Vardy, you know, with the through ball. You know, we saw how well he played with Vardy at the back end of the season before last. But who knows? We said earlier in the Arsenal chat, who knows? Brendan can throw a curveball. He might go with all three for all we know tomorrow. It wouldn't surprise me.
He might put Vestergaard in goal and stick Luke Thomas and stick bloody Danny Ward in the right of midfield.
Who knows? This is Brendan Rodgers we're talking about. Terry said, it's just the Rodgers press conference. He bigged up and met Arsenal and how they have improved the squad. Thought it a bit of a sideswipe at Leicester directors. That's all, might just be me. He did in fairness, but you look at it two ways. It might be a little bit of a dig at Leicester directors. I kind of somehow don't think it is, because Brendan Rodgers is the guy in charge of the team affairs. He has to be kept abreast and informed of what's going on with club finances, what money he will have. And he, I think, will have been told at the start of the window, look, this is what we've got to do this season. So I don't think it necessarily, for me, is a swipe. What you could look at it is he a bit of, Alex Ferguson psychology, saying how good they are, then we go out and whip their arses tomorrow.
That's exactly how I was trying to interpret it, to give a statement back to him. It's a point. Again, these reports, there's no smoke about fire to a point, but then obviously the old counsel, what I say in regard to that. And I think people were great these last couple of years, have all become figures. and we look way too much into things. And I would agree with you, to counter it, you could look at it and maybe, yeah, in a weird way, is at the, you could say, it's Alex Ferguson light, because let's all remember, the press asked these questions hoping for certain responses, but they're to write an article. They'll write what they're told, like what Brendan says, but they're hoping for a little bit of juice, a little bit of gossip, something that's going to stay, and this is why, you know, we're not going to, you know, and then maybe has a little bit of a meh moment, and he says something maybe he didn't really want to say, and he was biting his tongue, but he didn't. And again, the way he kind of said it, well, yeah, Arsenal improved, they've done really well, they look, oh, they look really good, don't they? Almost going, don't they? They look really good. Imagine if they went out there and lost. Because I bet you anybody who maybe likes a cheeky 10p better or there, or is favouring picking a team or whatever, they're going, oh, Arsenal, yeah, he's right, they look good. And then you go on Saturday, half three and a 2-0 down to Leicester, you know, they'll be thinking at least we're going to draw 2-2 the way we play. But, you know what I mean? But, you know what I mean? He can see it as from a psychology. But he looks, but he won't be that if we lose.
You can take it any way. I mean, I have worked in newspapers. I worked in it for 22, 25 years, or, you know, so going back to the very, very start of social media. When I came in and started working for them, the newspaper, the local rag, was the main source of information about your team. You would buy it, whether it be nightly, weekly, bi-weekly, whatever, and you turn straight to the back pages. I always used to buy the Sun. Before anybody says, no, it wasn't because of page three, because when I left Leicester, I moved up north, and the Sun was the only team that included, at that point, included Leicester as a northern team. And so, and I'd always go straight to the back page and look to see what they're written about Leicester. That was the days when we just had newspapers. I have seen, in Bournemouth, I have seen the building where the Bournemouth Echo, which is a daily newspaper, part of NewsQuest, where it now is, they have probably now taken up an eighth of that whole building from what they used to own, you know, run the whole building. The whole building used to be printing and journalists and what have you. And I saw the sales staff going down, and I also saw the reporters going down. And we used to have a weekend magazine, and I'm not going off topic here, but I just make my point. And you might have, let's say, Christopher, for want of a, I think it was him, and he's going to turn up at the Bournemouth Pavilion and do a show. So in the TV magazine that came through on a Saturday, there'd be a section on Christopher. Back in the day, the reporter would be on the phone to the agent, making an appointment to do it. Now, no. He does one interview at the start of the tour, and then they tip X out Bournemouth and they'll put Southampton in. That is how journalists have got. There's no photographers now. The reporters go out with a mobile phone. So there's no, and those reporters, like I say, where there was probably 20, there's now 5 maximum. You've also seen the rise of all online websites for all the papers. You've seen the online websites for all the huge fan bases. You've seen even, you know, channels like this. We all look for something that will give us an edge that we can turn into a show. You've got 24-hour sports news now. And I know when Leicester won the Premier League, I watched it every hour to see us win it again. But it's got to be filled. Talk Sport is a 24-hour sports radio station. And they've got now Talk Sport 2 and BBC Radio 5 Live. These have got to be filled with news of some sort. And they will look, like you said, Brad, for the slightest little thing. And you look at the Mercury. The Mercury used to be a good newspaper. Now they're taking reports from sites like 90minutes.com and taking one line out of that and making it into its own story.
Yeah, they are. Liverpool guilty of it. Leicester, everybody's guilty of it. Every fan is sick to death of it. And that's why when it, you know, cast our minds back, not even just over a week ago, there was probably a lot of us here that were reading the reports of Schmeichel that become so numb to our transfer debacle that comes every summer and every January to every club is a link with 400 players, they're selling 400 players, they're losing Doris the Tea Lady in the mascot one week and they're signing a Terminator as a mascot and bloody they're signing off footballers.
Bless you.
And it's just, you know, I don't think a lot of people for the first couple of reports about Schmeichel going were like that bothered. I think we all thought fake news. We looked at the article, we looked where it was from. Well, they've got that, but it's from NikeMinute.com. That's a load of rubbish. Now he plays for Nice, and now Danny Ward's our number one. And so, everything
we're looking for different things. So, yeah. He may have said something not meaning it that way, and one in 50 journalists has taken it that way, and one top journalist goes with it. You look at everything, you know, even in the, you know, the Sun, the Mail, wherever it is. I'm sorry, I'm going all there because Burnley, they literally are pounding Watford's spot. They've hit the post. The goalkeeper's made a fantastic save. But anyway, back to Leicester. You've got to be careful what you say these days. We know that. Yeah. Even off the cuff, if you stood at the side of the pitch and say, you know, someone who's got the phone out recording it, you know, you can't get away with it.
Being a sports journalist, just last thing on it, I'll just sum it up. Being a sports journalist is like being like a broken clock. Twice a day, you at least could be right with if you wrote a story every hour. Yeah. Two of them would be right.
Yes. But Scott says has, and he means Torre being sacked yet. You see, I thought that about Torre, and yet, if you looked at Fofana on his first game back, was it Rennes we were playing? And he scored on his first game back. He ignored his teammates, and he went and was, you know, hugging and squeezing Torre. And that made me think maybe he's got something more to him than we think.
Well, yeah, because let's face it, it's easy. You can't blame one thing. In that, you know, again, the power people have for writing an article and how much it grips people is ridiculous. Because, again, when everybody went, well, it's not Brandon's fault because now they're winning again. The injuries and defensive malarkey must be the coach's fault. Because when it's going right, it's not Brandon's fault anymore. It's the coach's fault. When it's going wrong, it's Brandon's fault. But you saw that embrace, and I saw it as well. And, you know, you have to remember, like I said, the players are only doing what the manager tells them to. And the way Brandon does the training, the coaches are only teaching the players what Brendan told them to teach them. We saw it when, and we said it on the match day, it looks like Brendan's stubbornness is finally broken and he's stopped playing three at back. He started playing more aggressive football. That comes from the manager. And we can only improve as a team, and the coaches can only improve and change it. We were zonal marking, weren't we, or man marking, or one of the two, weren't we? We weren't doing one of them. I think it was zonal marking we were doing, and we should be doing man marking. And ever since that changed, yes, we still conceded probably two goals. But that was probably over 14 games where we conceded only two goals. We were conceding a goal a set, every set piece, let alone a goal a game from set pieces. It was ridiculous. So, you know, maybe, I mean, we didn't concede from a set piece against Brentford, did we?
No, we scored from a set piece.
Yeah, and that was similar to Fofana's goal, wasn't it? So he's clearly worked on something with him, like run to the edge of the 6-yard box from either corner. You know, we've clearly been working on all aspects of it, and maybe this season we'll see that aspect of it pay off. We just got to stop bottling it in the last 5 minutes of the game when we're winning it.
A picture paints a thousand words, and for me, that picture did, really, really did. Watford have won 1-0. By the way, well done, Chowdhury. Off to a winning start with his new team. Ryan says here, I don't know if everybody's still in, but obviously you're putting questions in and we're working our way through them. I was surprised to see Schmeichel move on. He did seem happy at Leicester. For me, yes, he was happy at Leicester. And they call Alan Birchnell Mr. Leicester, and I think Casper is that. I think you've only got to look at what it meant to be part of the club and the relationship he had with the owners, that he literally had to be held back from jumping into the into the flames to try and rescue Vichai on the night of the accident. But every player's time comes to an end. We've sold him probably for $250,000 less than we paid for him, and we've had 11 years of excellence out of him. He has won us trophies, he's kept us in games, but I believe, for me, we did a snog, marry, avoid show before, you know, earlier in the pre-season in a form of a keep, sell, loan. I said, yeah, let's sell him and bring Ward up front. And he deserves 3 seasons in the sun. He's going to Nice, south of France. He'll be on a really, really good wage. And he's got European football there. And I say good luck to him. But for me, last season, and I know the defence in front of him does make a goalkeeper look good or bad, and it was probably making him look awful, but he wasn't coming off his line. How many goals did we concede because he was static on the line?
That's true. Yeah, he did start to show a few errors in his age, and I suppose you could look at the Manchester United situation. We could have a Dean Henderson on our hands, because sometimes you can push goalkeepers into something that they don't want their careers to become. You know, Peter Schmeichel, Manchester United legend, but his dad did the same. He left, he ended up playing for Villa, Man City, didn't he, in his time? You look at Tottenham, and there's been talks for a few years now about Hugo Lloris, and he's made some howlers, but he's still a world-class keeper. But you have to make these moments, decisions in your life. Casper's in his late 30s now. He won't like mind me saying it, but I'm sure he's not watching, so he's probably not that bothered in France. But he's in his late 30s.
He watches this all the time, mate. Be careful what you say.
Yeah, I know that. He said to me, he warned me up from the committee. He said, I can't make it to them in front, Brad, but I'll be watching. So there you are, Cass, that's for you. But no, these keepers also want to keep a smooth career. And even though as a goalkeeper, your career is probably a little bit more elongated than an outfield player, because you can play into your late to even early 40s. You know, you can play into your late 30s and early 40s. Probably not on the standard you're hoping to, but you can still play it. And if he goes to France, he's going to get a couple of years out there. And then, you know, if that's where he was planning on, you know, because he might have decided from a young age, or he might have decided 2 years ago. We don't know. Nobody knows except Casper. He might have decided, you know what, me and the wife and kids, that's what we're going to do. I want to make sure we're playing days. And I can, you know, because he's already embedded and set. If that's where he's going to spend his free time after his career, good on him. He's earned it from us last fans. So thanks to him.
Totally. He goes with, and you know, The goodbye letter he wrote was from the heart, wasn't it, really? You know, and you just know that he meant it. It wasn't, you know, a PR stunt or anything like that. Ryan also says, which positions do you feel you're lacking in at the moment? Oh, go on. Just go for it. Just go for it, Brad.
We're lacking in depth on the wing. Maybe the only smidge of business I'm regretting that we weren't able to somehow shift the money to get done. Which, again, I'm still by for it. Maybe Adam Lookman should have really been brought to the club. But I'm not pissed off about it at all. It's not like he was one of my favourite players last season. It's not like I was in the Adam Lookman fan club. It's not like I really wanted him to sign. But no, that's taking that small fact aside out. I know people are going to say, bangers. But if there's anyone we can ship on. We've got two wide players essentially. Ricardo, unfortunately, seems to be a pattern. Just Ricciardo, you can't blame him off the training ground. One player getting the same continuous injury, that's just his body. That's just Ricciardo. And some players come with that, and that's it. But he's out now, isn't he? For next year, at least. So
I think, yeah.
Barnes, return to action. We don't know. We haven't got a date. So all Brighton, Barnes. You haven't got anybody on that right, really, unless you're going to put Daka there. And again, that suggests maybe doing that if he plays it more narrow to what we're accustomed to, what you're accustomed to seeing inverted. But that's the area we need strength in, because we're packed in positions everywhere else, even if we were to lose one thing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree totally. We've never really replaced Mahrez. Gazelle was more like a fucking elephant than a gazelle.
At least they moved.
Yeah. Under didn't quite.
Well, he was underwhelming, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. Boom, boom. Here we go. In fact, I'll tell you what, this is what you get. You don't just get that, Brad. For that one, you get this. So, just to make you feel better. But yeah, I agree, that is the position. I see, you know, Albrighton starting there probably a fair bit, but, you know, he's getting on now. Perez, possibly, you know.
The biggest problem I have with Albrighton is he reminds me of Steve Guppy, but he just lacks that trickery, because he's now developed into a player, given his age, where he'll get the ball in an advanced position in space and he'll drop the ball dead to his foot. And Albrighton, I do feel sorry for him, because even though he's had a great career at Leicester, I do feel like sometimes when he's come on, he's been wasted, because apart from Slomani, he's been putting in balls to six-foot blokes, and we've got a very good leaper in Vardy. But if it's not a complete team attack, he becomes a wasted option, in my opinion, at points when he's getting brought. And I don't really blame Albright for maybe coming on for 30 minutes and not seeing much of the ball or not doing much in the way of what fans are expecting. It's not always that easy. So I do feel a bit sorry for Albright, and I hope he doesn't get too much stick this season if he does play in, yeah, maybe lacks creativity.
Yeah, but no, that is the position we have. Doug's coming in asking what our favourite film is, and then 2 minutes later goes, oops, I didn't see the Leicester City. Fear about the question. And our favourite film has not been made yet, but it will when they do Jamie Vardy's life story.
I'll happily say that my favourite film that's out at the moment that isn't Back Through Time, people can say what they like about it, is Cruella from Disney. Just to answer your question, Doug, I will give you that answer as well. But yeah, agreement and quiz. In terms of Leicester movies, can you call the entire playoff final against Crystal Palace as a elongated movie? It's just the full 90 minutes.
Yes, Doug. Doug, no. Just no.
Get out, Doug. Doug, leave. Yeah.
Go on. You said, you know, you said earlier your wife isn't seeing enough of you. Go and be with your wife, you know.
Yeah.
Doug, I've got to say this to you.
Get a life, all you love.
So, he knows I love him, really. I think, let's have a look, what are the... I think we're pretty much... Bertrand returned to action, says Scott. Well, I'm just looking here. Piera's potential return is February. Ryan Bertrand, he's still a number of weeks away from being fit, so it's kind of 17th of September-ish when they've said he possibly will be back. And
so Harvey Barnes,
yeah, Harvey Barnes has been with the medical team, still has an irritation around the knee. I have an irritation, but I left after a while. But I don't have any of that time on that, says Brendan, and it's looking around the end of August, 27th of August, so possibly 2 weeks for Harvey Barnes. Chris asks, who should take responsibility for Leicester's quiet transfer window so far? I keep saying, and you weren't in, Chris, in fairness to you, but there is a reason for it, and that reason is go and look on the Sky Sports website on the Leicester page. In fact, go and look on the BBC website, first of all, on the Leicester page, and search for the Tuesday Talking Point, because the guy that writes that for the BBC, honestly, his knowledge of football is absolutely unbelievable. But after that, go to the Sky page, and it's a big piece on our transfer window as to why we haven't. So it's not, I don't think it's a case for me of taking responsibility. It is what it is. With the squad we've got, if nobody left and nobody came in, we've got a squad good enough for top half of the table. Would you say that, Brad?
Yeah, I would. I think, you know, if you want to use the term, I think the owners take responsibility, and clearly by that interview and that report and some of the comments and that reports that have been written about it, and, you know, like I said, that video on Sky Sports that you mentioned, sums it up clearly. The owners have taken responsibility that it is more important to secure the club from the inside working out than it is to amend anything that's needed with the club. Because realistically, Chris, we did choose off-season, and you guys in the comments, I recognise a lot of your names that have been in tonight, you know, you watched that show, and you probably were asked questions or answering questions on people's podcasts about Leicester when it was brought up, and that is, would how many of X team's players would get in a Leicester squad? And we were struggling to, I think if we tried to do a show on that, Chris, we'd struggle to make an 11.
Yeah.
We honestly would. Without going stupid, I'm talking...
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that's another bearing reason. Don't fix what isn't broken, you know. We saw the disastrous effects of rushing a buy.
There was a season when Pochettino didn't make any signings at Tottenham Hotspur. That wasn't the season he got them to the Champions League, was it?
I think that was the season they got in the Champions League. If not, it was the season. No, it was the season after the Champions League, I think, because it was like that was the time they should have capitalised. That squad spent that starting 11, 13 players that probably played the most that season were absolutely spent in that final, which is why it was one of the worst Champions League final, most dullest Champions League final in history. And he wasn't allowed to invest. But you could turn that to the present day. You look at, you know, Leicester, you know, you look at Arsenal, whether they hit the top ambition or not, they still got European football. By the skin of their teeth, by 12 points, it doesn't matter. There are Arsenal fans that when we were giving them, you know, a load of jobs for not playing European football on a Thursday night at all, well, now the roles have reversed and now Leicester have to deal with it. And if the owner and manager can go, yeah, I'm happy with what I got, I can do the job set for before it, then it's going to stay that way.
Yeah. I think it's a case of this is the situation. Like I said right at the beginning, you know, the first question we had, and I said, like, we either become a Barcelona where we're signing players that we can't play, or we're putting them in the squad and then we're taking players out that we can't play because we're only allowed to register 25, or, you know, we end up like Leeds gambling and like Derby gambling on trying to get into the next step and going bust, basically. Scott is off. Thank you very much, mate. All the best. Take care. Richard is in. Good evening, sir. How's your little one? I hope you are well. When I say little, and of course, I do mean your son. I'm not being anything personal about any of your bodily apologies. Doug says, are you happy about Smithy's signing?
I'm as happy as anybody should be about a number three goalkeeper. Thinking, well, hopefully it doesn't get that drastic, but if it does, what's his standard? And I am actually, because he's got years of experience. He's had the experience of the Premier League. Actually, I am happy to have him as number three, because if it goes wrong and Iverson is not ready to be number two. At least we've got a couple of years out of Smithers to hold that fort down while he keeps developing as a third choice. So,
and like, you know, like we said before, if Ward gets injured, and he's a little bit injury prone at the moment, Iverson, if he does step up, you've got that number three to come in. Stolchuk, we saw, did very, very well pre-season, but there weren't exactly big teams we were playing. He can go off and get, you know, like Iverson has done, have a year out and get, you know, a year of experience on loan. And yeah, like you say, he's a third choice keeper. He's there for what happens. And then, you know, we'll never have another Steve Linex, Alan Young moment. But and C96, M, good evening. Welcome along, sir. Getting a bit worried about tomorrow. It is what it's Arsenal. We've played Arsenal 32 times in the Premier League. We have won 5, and we have won one of those at either Highbury or Emirates, wherever it was.
It was the Emirates, yeah.
So don't... I'm not getting too excited. This is almost like they say, this is almost like a gimme, to be honest with you. Is that the right phrase?
A gimme, yeah.
A gimme, yeah. It's Arsenal, it's away. If we get a draw, I'll be happy. If we lose, it'll be a case of it's Arsenal away.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, funny enough, in all of them games you just mentioned, probably one of my fondest memories comes from playing Arsenal. It's probably a game I enjoy more, especially when we win or get something from them, because I call it my first game I ever went to, because it's the earliest memory I 100% remember having, and that was, you'll definitely remember this, Chris, and this will tell you how fond my memory works. Yes, it was a 3-3 draw. I got to see a magical hat-trick and a team never give up. And I chose on that day that that's the team I was going to support, the team that never give up. And Steve Walsh nearly punching out Ian Wright. That also happened as well.
The funny thing is, I've been on 2 Arsenal channels tonight. And the first one, which was the Over and Over and Over Again podcast, the links are in the chat, by the way. And Terry was in the second one with me on Steven's channel. But on the first one, I did actually... I don't know if that was the season that they did the Invincibles or not, but I did actually mention that game to him. It was a classic that did sum Leicester up under Martin O'Neill. You know, you didn't play to, you know, you would never have got Tottenham Hotspur scoring 2 goals against us like they did last season under Martin O'Neill. You know, it's you fought till the whistle went. I mean, Matt Elliott, in 1 minute he's having Bergkamp do a Gascoigne chipping over him and scoring. The next minute he's getting a goal up the other end. It was the game that had everything. And like you say, nearly a punch-up at the end as well.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that game wasn't actually... That was back in 96, 97, I believe. The games we had against the Invincibles, the Invincible Arsenal, though, well, we were so close, Chris, to greatness. I think I think Gilberto Silva probably scored a last-minute equaliser for Arsenal at what was the Walker Stadium. And we played Arsenal the last game of the season and Paul Dickoff put us 1-0 up. We were already relegated and Arsenal just needed to beat us or not lose to us. And we weren't 1-0 up. We did lose that game 3-1. But that was the season Arsenal picked. Some fond memories.
And it wasn't that game then, but I do remember the fact that... Yeah. In that we were one of the teams that came closest to stopping them doing the...
I think it was our first season after the Crystal Palace playoff, because we didn't lose for the first 5 games. In fact, I think our first defeat that season was Sheffield Wednesday away. You can tell that season's been ingrained in me, can't you, with that sort of information?
Yes. Terry, good night as well. There's no need to call your missus a horse, but whatever you want to. You've got to live with that. Put the horse to bed. Have a good one. Thanks for popping in. Brad, I think that went rather well. I think, obviously, people are dropping off now as it is bedtime, but I think that was very enjoyable.
Yeah, I enjoyed it myself. It was quite fun. It would be an interesting one to definitely do again down the line. In a sort of way, good.
Yeah, no, I do appreciate, because as usual with me, It's an idea I came up with at the very last minute.
Yeah, and some people say you throw the show together, mate.
Yeah. 1996 in South Africa. I was in South Africa a couple of years ago, Johannesburg, and then doing a safari. Absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. Back to Leicester before the Southampton game. Looking forward to getting you over here. And become great show. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's okay. It was just in case something, you know, was something different. But we'll do it again next Friday if you're free, Brad.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be up for that.
And then we've got the debate show afterwards. But I don't know. This may take the place of the debate show, or we may do them alternate weeks. That might work.
Yeah, could definitely do.
Every week, it might end up with with the same questions appearing every week.
Yeah, that'd be fine if we did that alternate. Yeah,
we can. I think it's going well. Well, we'll do it next week, and we'll fingers crossed that it will go well. Brad, thank you as always so very much for coming on and helping me out. Where can people find you?
They can find me here mostly. So if you want to see more of me on this show, then subscribe and press this channel. Find me on Twitter at Fulltime Focus. That's all one word. There's no capital letters or anything like that. It's obscuring it. And you'll find a link to my YouTube channel on there, which is A Matter of Opinion, which is weekly, one video a week that I do every Thursday. Topic discussion. So, yeah, go and check that out. If you like what you see, great. You give it a subscribe after you've left this channel and done the same here. Thanks for having me on, Chris. I've enjoyed it.
Brilliant. No, thank you for coming on. Your link is in the description below on the under the YouTube description. So if you haven't quickly made a note of it, you can find Brad's link to his YouTube site there. Thank you to everybody who joined in today, because obviously without you, this show would have been very quiet. Although I'm sure Brad and me would have had something to natter about.
Yeah, well, that's true. We'd definitely find something to talk about, mate. We definitely would.
Thanks very much, Brad. All the best, mate. And I will see you tomorrow evening.
Yes, round about 7, I believe. We've actually got 3 o'clock. Chris, on Saturday.
3 o'clock. So, yeah, it'll be about 7 o'clock tomorrow night for the post-match show. So there's a watch-along from 2:30. In fact, I'm looking at last week. There is a watch along at 2:30 for the 3 o'clock kickoff. I've got Miss Molina joining me, so I do enjoy it when there's like one fan from the opposing team. Don't like it when it's Arsenal because they always beat us and they always enjoy it. And then 7 o'clock, you and me will hopefully be talking about a Leicester City win.
Well, fingers crossed, mate. It would be nice after the draw against Brentford. And hey, if it's a draw against Brentford and then we're going to beat Arsenal, it's 4 points. It's probably what most people would have been optimistic about. You take it. We can only do beat and work it out on what's in front of us. So just go there full of positive and then we can bitch and moan if we lose.
We are Leicester City. It is going to be a roller coaster ride. Just make sure you got your sick bags, guys. Thanks very much, Brad. Take care. See you soon.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks to Brad coming in. Yeah, it's always a roller coaster ride with Leicester City. Do one thing for me before you go. If you haven't already, would you please, so very, very kindly, he says, trying to find it, do this for me.
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favourite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
As C96 says, we are unbeaten in 6 Premier League games. We are. Keep the faith indeed. Foxes never quit. I can't see us getting anything tomorrow, but give me a draw right now, I would take it. 2:30 tomorrow for the watch along. Join us then, even in South Africa, 96, if you are free. You're on the same time zone as us, so it'll be exactly the same time, 2:30 for a 3 o'clock kickoff with an Arsenal fan, Miss Molina, and then 7 o'clock, as we said, with Brad for the post-match show, including Brad's tactics. Thank you so very much for this. Enjoyed it. It's been a great show. Loved doing it. And I will see you next week again at, same time, 9 o'clock for this show, if I don't see you tomorrow for the watch along. Take care. Thank you very much. Stay safe. And remember, don't do anything I wouldn't enjoy. Good night now.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
For watching these videos are tremendous. You better like the tour. I'll be back.
Cool. I'm out of here. Ooh, that's a wrap.
So people are on the pitch, they think it's all
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping. And you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.